E aku nui, e aku rahi, kia ora anō, ko James Beck tēnei. I'm James and welcome to episode 6 of Ngahere. Over the years, I've noticed that a lot of us can see that our planet is a bit broken, and that how we live as a people in Aotearoa is a bit broken too. And we've got some pretty big questions. Questions about what our faith and what the Bible might have to say about the way that we live and the way that we care for creation. Questions about how we can reconnect with the world around us and with each other. Questions about why the church seems so useless when it comes to caring for God's creation. And questions about how Māori and Pākehā can learn from each other and grow together. So if you're keen, I'd love to invite you to come along on this crazy, beautiful six-part journey with me, Waiwara Te Moni, and Dr. Andrew Shepherd, as we head to a remote off-the-grid hut on Banks Peninsula, hidden in native bush, surrounded by birds, to explore the Ngāhere. The many connections that exist between creation, the Bible, and living in Aotearoa. Last time in episode 5, we shared an honest kōrero about how we should respond to all of the challenges creation and our communities are facing in light of this new understanding of our biblical human calling and how that connects to Te Ao Māori. If you haven't listened to that yet, do it. You won't regret it. But this time, which is our last conversation in the series, Waiora, Anaru and I will be reflecting on what we've learnt and how we've been changed by our time together at the hut in the bush before we head back to the city and begin our journey home. We'd had a great night. We'd had a fantastic meal together. We got the fire cranking. Anaru braved the long drop. And it was amazing being surrounded by the sounds of the bush at night with the stars above. The next morning we were a little slow to get going, but we enjoyed breakfast and coffee on the balcony, and we soaked in the dawn chorus and pondered what our role might be in God's choir.
Marie, koro.
Ata Marie.
Ata Marie. He karakia anō. Kia hora te Marino, kia whakapapa pōnamu te moana, hei huarahi mā tātou mō te rangi nei. Aroha atu, aroha mai, ti hei Māori ora.
Māori ora.
How are you guys this morning?
I'm good.
Present physically, if I'm being honest.
You need that coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
I know, I think that's the problem.
So much of what we did yesterday, as we talked, as we spent time in the bush, as we spent time with each other, is we talked about different stories or different ways of looking at our lives or at scripture or at the whenua or at God, and how these different perspectives or different ways of looking at things can change how we view things and then change how we sort of interact with things. So I was reading this book yesterday, which is by Henri Nguyen, and he wrote a book called With Burning Hearts, and he's talking about the road to, to Emmaus and the disciples who have been following Jesus, and then he's died and they're just downcast and walking away, and then the stranger walks up behind them and tells them a different story about their experience. And this is what the book says. The biggest difference lay in the storyteller. A stranger appearing from nowhere, yet one who had somehow seems closer than anyone who had ever told that story. The loss, the grief, the guilt, the fear, the glimpses of hope, and the many unanswered questions that battled for attention in their restless minds. All of these were lifted up by the stranger and placed in the context of a story much larger than their own. Mm. What had seemed so confusing began to offer new horizons. What had seemed so oppressive began to feel liberating. What had seemed so extremely sad began to take on the quality of joy. As he talked to them, they gradually came to know that their little lives weren't as little as they had thought, but part of a great mystery that not only embraced many generations, but stretched itself out from eternity to eternity. The stranger didn't say that there was no reason for sadness, but that their sadness was part of a larger sadness in which joy was hidden. The stranger didn't say that the death they were mourning wasn't real, but that it was a death that inaugurated more life, real life. The stranger didn't say that they hadn't lost a friend who had given them new courage and new hope, but that this loss would create the way to a relationship far beyond any friendship they had ever experienced. Mm. Never did the stranger deny what they told him. To the contrary, he affirmed it as part of a much larger event in which they were allowed to play a unique role. How does that resonate for you? What does that make you think about?
For me, there's some real echoes with some of our conversation yesterday. The first thing is that it's not a new story, but it's a re-narrating of that story. Mm. Jesus is telling them the same story, which is a story that they know, but reframing it. And I think part of what we were talking about yesterday is how we often read certain stories from the Bible, those Genesis stories, and we read them in a certain way. Part of what our conversation was about reframing them.
Mm.
And so that quote, even that idea of cosmic time and cosmos, and how we often read that story as we're the centre of that story, humans it is, but actually then we reframe it and go, no, but we're not the centre of the story. The centre of the story is God who's receiving the worship. That puts us in our place, and rather than being, oh no, we're not the centre of the story anymore, it actually liberates us from, oh, we're not the centre of the story.
Mm.
The story's not about us. It's about, what's that final bit of the quote?
Never did the stranger deny what they told him. To the contrary, he affirmed it as part of a much larger event in which we were allowed to play our unique role.
Yeah. And we talked about that idea that therefore our unique role is to be part of that choir, but that idea that for kaitiaki, that maybe part of our role is to be guardians, to be those people who then participate with those other choir members and are guardians for them to ensure that they keep singing. And that's our unique role.
Kia koe, Uho.
Oh, I thought the same thing. It made me think again. It was the word vocare.
Yeah, vocation.
And again, thinking about the unique role of humans, that whole part of one group towards one thing, which is the worship of God, with a separate but not a unique role, but not more or less than anyone else. I just think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That small part of a bigger story thing I love.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that we are small.
But we find our meaning as part of a larger story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas for a lot of young people, we've been told that we define our meaning ourselves and we work out who we are and what we're about, right?
Based on ourselves.
Mm.
And with that comes a lot of pressure, because if you're the centre of the story, then all that pressure is on you to carry that, oh, I've got to carry this responsibility because I'm the main actor on the stage, versus actually I'm actually part of this massive group of choir members, or we were talking before about musicals, so there's all these backstage people and there's the costumes and the background people, and so you're all part of this big ensemble of people, and therefore it's not all on you. But maybe what we're saying is being the main actor is actually about claiming our genuine identity rather than this sort of overwhelming sense of guilt and responsibility, which is, I've got to solve this crisis. Not possible. You can't do this by yourself.
I love the way the quote says this. You know, he affirmed the loss, the grief, the guilt, the fear, the glimpses of hope, and the many unanswered questions that battled for attention in their restless minds.
Mm.
All of these were lifted up by the stranger and placed in the context of a story much larger than their own. I think when it comes to the environment, you know, the taiao, there's kind of a couple of ways that we've talked about this while we've been together. We talked a little bit about the way that got interpreted for a while as dominion, but we kind of parked that word because it's a tricky word, because dominion, I think ended up playing out a little bit like domination. Like, we'll treat the environment, we'll treat creation however we want, and how we treat it doesn't matter because we're better than it.
Mm-hmm.
Physical creation is just, it's just a thing for us to use.
Mm.
Whereas if you shift it from that story and then put that in the context of kaitiaki, what do you reckon the difference is between looking at creation as a thing that we can dominate or looking at creation as a thing of which we are kaitiaki?
I think if you're given something to look after, it's a very different relationship.
Mm.
The way that I think about it is if you were given someone's kid to babysit, you're looking after it. You're keeping it fed, you're taking good care of it, you want to give it back as good or better than when you got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That idea is really, really helpful. People aren't to be used, people are to be loved. Kind of, we're kind of getting to this understanding that people don't exist for you to use for your pleasure.
No.
People exist to be loved for who they truly are. What if we were to take that approach and apply that to creation?
To everything.
Creation's not just there for me to use, it's actually there for me to love and care about because I'm part of it. And it in itself is this, if we look at the first page of the Bible describes it, it is this temple that worships its creator that we can be a part of.
Yeah.
And when we do that, it puts us in our right place and in the right story in which we find our meaning and our purpose and our identity. I think that's what we're saying, yeah?
Yeah, amen. Makes sense.
Yeah. And competing with a whole lot of koremako bellbirds who are joining together in a tree straight outside our window here, singing furiously. It's glorious.
So beautiful.
We can see them. They are what, like 4 meters away?
So if close. That,
it's about 5 or 6 of them now all joining. Oh, and a pi waka waka.
And so our conversation, in some profound way, is joining in theirs, although we're struggling to work out what our right identity and relationship is with creation, and they are just showing us.
Yeah.
If you were to view creation as this temple that worships the creator and all the trees and rocks and mountains and birds and fish, they're all co-members of the choir who are singing their own unique worship. What's the felt experience of that? Like, how do you go out into creation and experience that as opposed to just seeing a forest or seeing trees or seeing rocks? Have you guys had experiences in your life that have put you in that sort of space where you've been in creation and you've found yourself seeing it as a cathedral, seeing it as a temple, seeing it as this thing that points towards the worship of the creator?
Right now, sitting and watching these bellbirds, I think partly it's that whole idea of, particularly in the world that we live in, about the idea of attention. We live in our contemporary world now where there's just so much information, and particularly if you're a young person who lives on social media, and so this constant feed of information and noise and imagery, and actually that becomes the reality. And so that actually disconnects us. So, you know, the very fact that we can sit here in this crib and look out at sort of a sunrise over a harbour and listen to birds requires a slowing down, a being attentive. And to do that also therefore requires a sort of a switching off. You know, maybe the easiest thing we can do in our lives is just switch off our devices just for a period of time.
Now, you're on that, and on kind of like socials and the experience of the environment, if you were to ask me about one of my favourite experiences that has been out in the, we'll call it the temple or the cathedral of environment, mine would have been at the top of the Pinnacles.
That's the Coromandel?
Yes. I'm not one to climb a mountain, but I'll do it if it's going to be beautiful. And I was right at the very top for sunrise one time with one of my good friends, and watching the sunlight fill the valley below me was actually like inexplicably awesome, properly awesome. What I'm not going to tell you about, if you ask me for an awesome experience, is like a TikTok I've seen about a guy making a sandwich. Like, that's never going to be it. That's never going to be it. Do you know what I mean? And in the same way, it makes me think of like thinking again about the phone. I think my family didn't get a phone until the early 90s. And before that, no one in my whakapapa would have had one. They would have been out amongst it. I think we already knew it was a cathedral. We already knew it was honouring, and we spend time with it like we spend time with a person, and it teaches us, and we learn from it, and it talks to us, and we talk to it.
Mm. And this is the title of the environment.
Mm, kind of a constant learning, mutually respectful, honouring experience. Mm. And I think maybe that is getting a bit lost today. We're getting into our phones and out of the bush, but maybe we could switch that around.
Get out of our phones and into the bush?
Yes. If you want to go dive in the ocean, go dive in the ocean. Do what you got to do. But for me, it's bush, river.
Yeah. And so if you were to have that sort of relationship, that sort of connection with just being outside, what that's going to do is shift something within you where you don't want to live in such a way where you are causing more damage to that, like the idea you said earlier. Like, if you're caring for a child, you want to leave them better than you found them.
Mm.
If you're in a relationship, you're hoping that you both become better people by your relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And that's also true for how we engage with the whenua.
Rightly, I would consider it a relationship, and you wouldn't with any other person that you wanted to go see, go there expecting them to do all the work. Mm. You have to put something into it too. You have to put time into it. You have to keep returning to that relationship. You don't go in thinking, oh, it's all you serving me.
Mm.
It's like we serve each other, and eventually we'll find a balance together of what works for us.
And that seemed like a good place to end our journey. So we packed our bags, said goodbye to the hut, and began the walk from the hut to our car. We began the drive back to the city over the steep and winding roads of Dyers Pass.
She's gonna be a banger of a day, boys.
She's gonna be a banger!
Go for a walk.
He's going for a sit on the wire.
Waiora felt a bit nervous not being on the flat lands.
How's this road going for you? You're going for the double-handed.
Oh yeah. I did just whisper to myself, I'm fine.
Okay.
Andrew also thought that my car needed some mechanical attention. He wasn't wrong.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, by the way, you need to get this checked out because the ABS system is totally mundane.
Yeah, that's really bad. I feel like it's got worse as well, so I'll take it out.
It's just like, in the back, it's like letting someone who's sort of sitting here with a jackhammer go, bang.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry about my car.
No. Well,
it's going to stop us down the hill, I hope.
Brake lights constantly on my car. It's my dad said it's because I drive it around too much with the handbrake on accidentally.
Andrew needed another coffee.
Got out pushing out of a crib.
You ready to cross the road?
We flat what?
Lovely, thank you.
Ta-da.
Anything else? Anyone?
Nope.
What
do you want? Sausage roll.
And a sausage roll.
Sausage roll.
Did you yell at sausage roll?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
For the
are you serious?
Yeah.
These guys do the best sausage rolls.
Oh,
the
yaw.
Yeah.
Do you want one?
Yes.
I also discovered that they didn't realise I was still recording them while I was out of the car.
Hope that lady picks that up. There's nothing I dislike more than someone who doesn't pick up their dog's poop. Oh, she's gonna.
She's
good woman.
And that dad been talking about me behind my back. Apparently, I'm a sad guy to hang out with.
This was real. Ah.
Yeah, it's like a little
energizer bunny.
He is.
But energized by what?
It's not coffee.
It's not coffee. It's not sleep. It's not food.
I was really interested in his reflection this morning
because
he really feels stuff. Like, did you hear us last night?
We were
talking,
no,
and
I didn't.
He was talking about. You know that thing about being sad?
Hmm.
It's not sad. It's a dull ache. And we talked about sadness, but you know, it's dull ache.
Talk to Timo.
Yeah,
what?
Oh, you look really good there.
Boom,
man. So good, thank you.
Like,
man.
Shut up. I have reached the end of my hosting patience.
It's enough.
You have ceased to be manuhiri to me. You're now mana whenua. Look after yourself.
And then it was time. It was time to say goodbye.
Guys, that's us.
It's
all, I'm going to get out.
So I get out your wheelie thing?
Yes, please.
Your intrepid journey's back.
Yeah, you strip that up with that darling.
6 hour walk. That is it. Whew. That's it. That's it. It's finished. I picked them up a day and a half ago. Had a bunch of different experiences, and now back at the airport they go. Bye. See ya. They're gone. And I'm going to drive home and think about all of the crazy things that we've talked about.
And that's the end of this journey. But I know for me, the journey is just beginning. I hope what you've heard has also changed you in some way. Ngāhere, The Many Connections, is a project funded by Scripture Union in partnership with the Wilberforce Foundation. Produced by me, James Beck, with creative direction from the Reverend Spanky Moore. Our music was created by the wonderful Chris William. Check him out on Spotify. And don't forget to listen to the whole 6-part series of Ngāhere again. And if you like it, we'd appreciate you giving us a rating on Apple Podcasts so other people can find us as easy as pie. That doesn't make sense, but I'm going to stick with it. Hei akua nei.